Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is Religion on the Line. We're glad that you are allowing us to be part of your Sunday mornings. Give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710. Give us a call. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Guys, I got to throw this in. I'm searching computer, and there's a picture on, this is an att.yahoo.com, of the Pope hugging a weeping 12-year-old girl. I haven't read the article yet. The headline, Philippine girl challenges Pope on prostitution, which is, what the heck is that, right? What's going on there? A weeping 12-year-old asked Pope Francis how God could allow children to become prostitutes. Mm. He responds with a challenge to society. Haven't opened it up yet, but is that not... In the embrace of this child, by, I assume it's the same child, by the Pope is just moving to the heart.
Yeah. There's several pictures
child would
in...
have to ask such a question, you know.
There's several beautiful pictures of the Pope in... Sri Lanka, or greeting a person, yeah, in Sri Lanka,
right.
And he's surrounded by kids. Kids are in his lap. He greets a Hindu priest. His picture's on billboards and placards, and then he greets. There's a beautiful picture of an elderly woman who he's kneeling. Looks like he's bending over to put his forehead to her forehead.
Yeah,
beautiful picture.
He did an off the itinerary. He's always throwing curveballs, obviously.
And yeah.
I think it was NBC National News that did the visit to the orphanage in the Philippines, which just was very touching. But in terms of what we've been speaking of earlier in the show, I thought the newspapers just got in the house during the break, and one of the columns I always take a look at is The Ethicist, but it's now written in the Sunday New York Times Magazine. It's now written by Chuck Klosterman and my own critic. I don't think he's nearly as exciting as his predecessor in terms of his responses. But what we talked about, this query seems very important. I live and work in Hollywood. Some of my friends are screenwriters, and they tend to be politically progressive. They often criticize conservatives for ignoring scientific evidence when it conflicts with their politics. But when it comes to the negative effects of violence in the media, my friends dismiss the idea and insist that it is unfair to blame artists for societal issues. When confronted with scientific studies that point to media having an impact on violent behavior, most say that this is merely a reflection of what is already there. But if there is evidence of an effect, even nominal, is it unethical to write, produce, or direct violent films and shows? And I raise it because, you know, we are talking about how easy it is to see what the mote in the other guy's eye,
mm-hmm.
and missing the one in ours. But because I do think that raises that tension that I'd love to keep in mind for my absolute sacred cows as well. But that's my stuff.
All right. 576-7710 is the number to call. We're going to get to a caller right quick, fairly soon, as soon as we can see what they want to talk about. Do we have
emails?
By the
way, while we're waiting for that caller to be right, we do have to talk about, remember the caller we had at the end of the show last week when we asked to call about dinosaurs and so on and so forth, and how do you deal with that in God's omnipotence? Do you remember that query?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah. I think
I'm glad you did your research on that.
I do have a response when we have time, but I didn't do any research. I just did some reflection because I think it's an important challenge.
Okay, so, I got one thing on the Pope. He has this devotion, as many Catholics do, to Saint Therese Lisieux or Saint Therese the Little Flower, and she was a she's the co-patron saint of missionaries of the missions, along with Saint Francis Xavier, a Jesuit. But St. Therese never left the convent. She was a nun, which is someone who lives in a convent as opposed to a sister who's outside the convent. And she died at a very young age. She wrote this famous book, Story of a Soul. And she said that when she died that she would spend her life in heaven, would be spent doing good on earth. And one of the signs that she usually gives, or that many times she gives, is she sends a rose to the person. And so the Pope was praying to St. Therese Lisieux, and on his flight to the Philippines, a French journalist gave him an image of St. Therese. And the Pope says, instead of giving the usual rose when he asked for help, he says St. Therese came to him herself. It's kind of the Catholics out there who have this devotion will appreciate that little story.
Is it a common devotion?
Yes, it's very common. When her relics came to the United States, lines were very, very, very long.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. I don't know what Yvonne wants to talk about, but we're going to go to Yvonne. Good morning, Yvonne. You've got religion on the line.
Yes, sir. Hi there. Well, I was the one last week that called in, didn't have time to stay, and I had to listen over the car radio. I wanted to ask John about the Pope. I had heard that the Pope had said back in November that Mary was the co-redeemer. And I just want to check it out, see if that's true or not. I don't want to accept that if he did not say that.
Well, I did a little research on that, and I couldn't find an exact phrase from Pope Francis, mm-hmm. but there are others who have developed this theology of Mary as co-redemptrix. St. John Damascene, St. Peter Damian, St. Anselm, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, St. Bonaventure, St. Albert the Great, St. John Hughes, St. Louis de Montfort, St. Alphonsus Liguori. So it goes
the
back.
The baseball team.
Yeah, everybody on the bench just about. Blessed Mother Teresa, of course, Padre Pio.
And isn't there Eastern Orthodox belief also that in the Theotokos?
Well, Theotokos is Mother of God, but
this isn't a parallel?
No. I compare it to husband and wife are co-creators. And in the order of grace, Our Lady is co-mediatrix, co-redemptrix. It's not an official doctrine, although I do have a priest friend that I travel with who did his dissertation on this topic. And I was at his defense of that dissertation at the Angelicum in Rome when he gave it. And so that is for instance, Jesus could appear to anybody and convert him right now, okay? But he desires that the redemption take place through others. And so rather than him appear at, let's say, St. Louis Parish, where I'm going to give the homily today, I'm going to give the homily, hopefully inspired by the Holy Spirit, and give the message to the people. And so he shares these graces of redemption with us to participate in the redemption of others. And Our Lady, because of her unique participation and her being and because of the merits of the redemption being applied to her before she was conceived, we call that the Immaculate Conception, where she was conceived without original sin, that she participates in a special way with Jesus as the co-redemptrix. Jesus is still the Savior, or her Savior. Jesus is still God. Mary is not a fourth person of the Most Holy Trinity. She's not divine, but she participates in redemption with her Son at the foot of the cross, just like all of us now continue to participate in redemption.
Okay. Thank you very much. That clears it up for me.
Would that bother you if she was declared officially?
Oh, well, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Are you Catholic, Yvonne?
No, I'm not.
I mean, it won't bother you a whole lot, right?
It would bother me. I could not receive that because Jesus is my only Redeemer.
That's what Mary would say.
That's still the teaching of the church, isn't it?
Jesus is the Redeemer, but he shares these graces with us. Again, just like he could create Adam and Eve. He could create my children the way he created Adam and Eve, but he desires to go through parents.
I know. He wants to use us as, you know, vessels to bring people to the Lord. I understand
that. Yeah, and this doctrine will not say that Mary replaces Jesus. No, Mary cooperates with Jesus in redemption, just like I and you and everybody else cooperate in redemption.
Now I pray that I can take this to the lady that told me that and clear her up on the subject too.
I said I wasn't aware of. He might have said something, but I just couldn't find it.
I see. He
hasn't spoken ex cathedra then clearly on that.
Right. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, no pope has spoken ex cathedra, but so many have referred to it as almost, you know, that this is, you know, throughout the centuries.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yvonne, do you have enough coasters from us?
I certainly do. I thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
We could get her confused at a higher level than she was before she called the show.
Yeah. You know, I think, John, this is not to push any buttons. I just think that it's so interesting and curious that I'm looking at this news report that Libby Lane will be made the first woman bishop in the Church of England at York Cathedral on the 26th of January. So it'll be a week from tomorrow. That one of the most highly sophisticated delineations of women's power, I think in the history of thought, is The Elevation of Mary. One of the best books that I've read on, not necessarily Mary, but the feminine, is The Guadalupe Phenomenon by a Catholic priest, a great teacher at University of Notre Dame, Virgilio Elizondo. And he venerates the image of Mary and talks about its history and place and power in helping liberate the poor and also just kind of sanctifying even more, in a more sacred way, the feminine in life. But I find it ironic that that is the case on one hand with Mary, and you have this kind of pressing of the envelope so that there's this co-redemptorist possibility, but women can't still be ordained in the Catholic Church. I find that sad in my experience. And we've been ordaining people for more than 150 years in the Christian Church.
Yeah, well, we have consecrated religious who take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And John Paul II was asked this question, and he said it's not that he can't, it's just that he has to follow what Jesus did. And Jesus only chose men, even though he appeared to Mary Magdalene first, and even though the women were at the foot of the cross rather than the apostles. And so we're just passing on what Jesus chose to do. That's how he chose to do it.
We see it a little bit differently than you do. So we see Jesus choosing women as well.
But you guys don't have priests.
And we see that it's past our break, guys.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you starting your day with the KCMO Morning Show and Greg Knapp?
My culture that I grew up in, you never get a C. If you get a C, you should be ashamed of yourself. And there's going to be big problems at the Knapp House if you bring home a C. So what happened? Well, I buckled down and worked hard and asked to teach for extra credit, and I got a B. Never got a C. Yeah, culture matters.
The KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp, weekdays 5 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing superior service and attention to detail for over 20 years. KansasCityDoor.com.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp for Dan the Tailor Man. He wants to suit you up. Why rent an ill-fitting tux for that big wedding instead of buying a beautiful new suit that's going to last you a long time? You get free alterations for the lifetime of the suit. You get a free tie with the suit. It's the top name brands in Kansas City for a third the price anywhere else. You got to see him to see how he does it. He's at 97th Guevara, right across from the Oak Park Mall. Or call Dan up. Tell him Greg Knapp sent you. 913-541-1192. 913-541-1192 for Dan the Tailor Man.
When you've been sick or injured, there can often be a period when you don't need to be in the hospital, but you're not quite well enough to go back to your normal life. That's where Covenant Place of Lenexa comes in. Covenant Place of Lenexa offers a full range of rehabilitation services in a peaceful home-like environment. Private rooms are available, where Medicare approved and certified. A spa with whirlpool tub, fireplace, and television make your personalized rehabilitation the bridge between hospital and home.
Call 913-307-2000 or visit covenantplacelenexa.org. It's the new year, and we want to help you start it off right. Visit our website to enter the New Year New You contest, and you could win $500 cash and other great prizes from our sponsors to help kick off your resolution. Plus, a shot at a relaxing spa vacation for two to start the new year off rejuvenated. Visit kcmotalkradio.com to get entered today. Brought to you by State Street, Bob Hamilton Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Rooter, and Sunfresh, where you get the fresh stuff to help you and your family get healthy.
It's a new year.
It's a new you.
And a new fun-buying adventure at Country Hill Motors.
We start 2015 with 500 in-stock vehicles, from the nicest minivans all the way to trucks, SUVs to luxury vehicles from Mercedes and Lexus, even Lamborghinis, Vipers, and Ferraris.
And a team of car enthusiasts whose passion for getting you into the vehicle you want, need, and can afford is far more important than just selling you a car.
And our new website, countryhill.com, that makes it all quicker and easier with savings up to $3,000 and interest rates from 1.49%.
With over 200 vehicles that look and drive like new, priced $3,000 to $12,000.
A fun, no-hassle, no-pressure experience awaits you now at Country Hill Motors in Merriam, Olathe, and online, countryhill.com.
Get out to the forest and discover the wonders of nature with your family, just like Blue, Jewel, and the whole Rio flock.
Let the kids connect to their roots. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo!
Let's rock this jungle.
Yeah!
Fresh air.
What a glorious morning.
Clean water.
Woo-hoo! This is great!
And endless surprises.
Yo, this is untapped territory.
How amazing.
Visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My grades were bad. I would, like, get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of.
It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go just stop by Miss Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7. Now you can hear the biggest names in talk radio on FM. This is KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 on your AM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. By the way, guys, I've got a question for you, because, I have not yet seen Selma and do hope to see it. There was that modest controversy, not just about the historical portrayal of Lyndon Johnson's role and other pieces of the puzzle, but as well that the executors of the estate, which as I understand it are Dr. King's children, would not allow his actual words to be used in the film, presumably unless they got a royalty of some kind.
It
seems so problematic to understand how that would be an appropriate stance, let alone that there is copyright protection for
words. I don't know. It, by the way, it transforms the closing speech.
Mm-hmm.
which everybody who's familiar with those historical documents would call the how long speech. Mm-hmm. How long? Not long, because he's mm-hmm. quoting from the Psalms. Right. And it's just beautiful cadence, beautiful meaning, powerful rhetoric. And they change it to when. When will this happen? You know, and so then they get the spirit of the moment, but not the, again, the historicity. I don't know what's going on there, Michael, but except a need for control and or greed.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not the latter.
But yeah. Bob, is that apply to various commemorations all across the country that might be quoting from the, you know, obviously I Have a Dream speech is almost always a piece
it's public domain, I'm sure, by now.
Well, I sure hope so.
I don't know. I think the litigation nightmare that would ensue if they chose to bring that before courts of law would be insane. I do think that they wanted the producers wanted the imprimatur of approval mm-hmm. by the King family, and they just couldn't get it completely.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, well.
Yeah, I had a critique, not a critique, just an observation that they had transformed that closing speech, and now that explains it. That they had wanted to use the actual speech and then weren't given permission, so they changed it.
At least that's my understanding from what I've read.
That's very interesting. Hey, let's go to a caller. Mike, you've got religion on the line.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to call in and bring up what in the conversation you had. You talked about the 12-year-old girl that asked the Pope why a 12-year-old be a prostitute. How would God let that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And that caused me to contemplate on something with the things that are going on in the world right now, and all the loss of life and everything on a large scale. If you remember back in 1995. I'd called in, and it was
Wow. 20 years ago, you called in, and what?
I remember it vividly.
Yeah.
It was about a book that had been presented to me from a son, and it was from a Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman.
Oh, about gun control?
It was on killing. Mm-hmm. The psychological cost of learning to kill in war and society, mm-hmm. and it was talking about how the military kill rate had raised their kill rate from World War II, which was about 50%. That when it came right down to it, they wouldn't kill the enemy.
Mike, before you go on, I want to understand what the 50% means. 50% of those they shot at, or 50% of those who were shot. What does it mean, 50%?
50% wouldn't pull the trigger.
Would not pull the trigger. Ah, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, this can't be good for the world we face right now. Mm-hmm. And they set about to do those things that would change that kill rate. And by the time of Vietnam, it was in the 90%. And we think about the things that were used to alter the psychology and the training programs at that time. And when I look out and I see the same techniques that are used in the social networking that we have in a global system of networking, then I think we really have to be fearful of what young people that are thrust into taking others' lives, even at 12 years old or 10 years old, and when Reverend Hill spoke of that movie on American Sniper, I'm likewise conflicted. I think I need to see it.
Mm-hmm. But, hold on just a minute, Mike. We got to take a break, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
K
KCMO. Can't get enough talk radio? Get KCMO online at kcmotalkradio.com. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at KCMO Talk Radio. Stay connected to your favorite personalities and get updates 24/7. KCMO 710. And now on FM at 103.7. Kansas City's talk station, AM, FM, and online at kcmotalkradio.com.
Every day, we go about our lives driven by routine, our vision clouded by the very normalcy we take for granted. Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible. It's time to open our eyes. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who combat human trafficking, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, or the sex trade. Learn what you can do to help by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch. The Vatican says it's a record for a papal visit. Up to 7 million people crowded in and around a Manila park as Pope Francis celebrated Mass.
And please, don't forget to pray for me. God bless you.
One of the striking images from the Philippines is that Pope Francis insisting on an open Popemobile in spite of the inclement weather. He got as wet as the people watching him.
CBS's Alan Pizzi.
Francis hasn't shied from basically sharing the hardships, if you will. I mean, the wonderful images of him clad in a cheap plastic poncho, the same as the people who come to see him. People recognize, I think, this is a man who says what he means and means what he says.
Francis spent some of his downtime today consoling the father of a volunteer who was killed while helping organize yesterday's Mass. A gust of wind brought scaffolding down on her. The Pope is wrapping up a week-long trip to Asia. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Thanks to a cool front coming through, temperatures will drop. Dry conditions, lighter winds, and clear skies. A perfect recipe for the temperature to fall to 30 degrees. Winds will be out of the west at 5 to 15. Then tomorrow, the winds become southwesterly. And anytime around here you get a southwesterly wind, that's going to heat those temperatures up. 60 the afternoon high with plenty of sunshine. An overall delightful day. Just watch out, there is that heightened fire risk, so you may not want to do any burning. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Lisa Teachman.
Two consecutive SEC Eastern Division titles, winners of five conference divisional titles in the past eight seasons, and the reigning SEC Coach of the Year. The Missouri Tigers are coming to Kansas City to take on the BYU Cougars. Join the Missouri Tigers as they return to Arrowhead Stadium November 14th, 2015. Two storied programs, one epic game. Tickets go on sale Wednesday, February 4th at 9 a.m. on Ticketmaster.com.
Ditch the oven mitts. Forget dish duty. SweetJack.com just nabbed $50 gift cards to Ryan's, Old Country Buffet, and all your favorite buffet restaurants for just $30. Dig into a just like mama made it homestyle meal at over 300 nationwide locations. Don't wait. Tap into SweetJack.com on your phone or computer right now for 40% off your local Ryan's and Old Country Buffet restaurants.
Sweet Jack, now that's a real sweet deal.
This is NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, and I am proud to support our nation's veterans. Do you know you can get a faster decision on your disability compensation claims by filing an electronic fully developed claim, or e-claim, on e-benefits? Take it from a guy who lives his life in the fast lane. Faster is better. Visit ebenefits.va.gov today to learn more.
E-claims, online VA claims made simple. A message from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
There are a lot of kids in this country who didn't have a parent at their baseball games or recitals because their parents were serving in faraway places. But now their parents are coming home from battle, some with wounds you can see and some with wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Every day, Wounded Warrior Project assists wounded warriors and their families with the Warriors to Work program, a program that helps warriors translate their military experience to civilian job experience. And they help employers find the right warrior for the right job.
My mom used to be a tank programmer. Now she works with computers. I'm really glad she's home because I can't eat my dad's marshmallow macaroni anymore.
I was two when my dad went away to war. He was there for three of my birthdays. Now he's home and he's a logistics specialist.
If you're looking for proven professionals, contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
Don't be a part of the herd. Be heard. Your opinion counts. KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we were going to Mike from Kingsville.
Yes. Thank you for the time you've allowed me to have, and I want to wrap it up a little bit. Since the 10th of October, I had a kind of a minor injury, but it's limited my ability to do things that I was used to doing physically, and I'm on the mend from that. But I've used the opportunity to do some reading and watching, and one of the things that I watched at 2 o'clock this morning was Independent Lens on PBS, and I'll try to tie these things together. And it was a documentary on the evolution of a criminal. And I would encourage people to see that and see what we're doing to our young people out there that's causing the violent reaction that we see now, that is an extension of what we've done to shape young people in the past with video games and the entertainment that we allow to come in, and they act out on that entertainment. And I think there's a caution to all of Hollywood. Be careful what we... I don't pitch my tent toward Hollywood because there's a responsibility that we all have to some degree about the future that we shape, and we're seeing that shaped in very uncertain ways on a global level. And so... thank you for taking my call this morning, and I'll talk to you another day, and I wish you all well.
Okay. Take care, Mike. And we're going to go to Mike. Mike from Fairway is called.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
I heard somebody, I guess, wrote in or asking about science, brought up a question about people accepting some science and not other. I have a problem. First of all, the word science means knowledge, but we use the word political science, economic science, social science, natural sciences, and empirical sciences. Just because they all have the word science in them, they are not the same thing. And the studies in social sciences are correlations. They could be correct, or they might be wrong, but you can't apply science because you can never control all the variables. And so sometimes it's the question of not do you reject science, but is it really science? Can it prove cause and effect? Can it be demonstrated? Can it be observed, measured, repeated, and falsified? And so the argument is not do you reject science, but is it really science?
Okay. We kind of err on the side of faith here. I think you know that. Which, while it might have been known theology at one point, which is not necessarily faith, but theology was known as the queen of sciences.
Yes, it was.
But it's not a science in the same sense that you're talking about,
not
I believe.
Not empirical science is what
yeah.
it is. I separate empirical science because...
But I guess the question for us, or at least for me, is how do science and faith relate? That's the
Well, a lot of times they say science disproves articles of faith of a certain groups, when actually it's speculation goes against that belief, but it's not science. But they use the word science to give it more credibility than it deserves.
Okay.
That's it. Now, I don't understand when the schools started losing the teaching, because I grew up and I learned the difference between psychology and empirical science and sociology. In fact, some doctors who think actually claim science for medicine, which is part art and part science, were very critical of calling a psychiatrist a doctor because it wasn't scientific. But now we've seemed lost that and lumped it all together when they shouldn't be. They have different methods of studying and different methods of evidence. You have rules of evidence for court. It's a science, but it's not the same as empirical science.
Okay. And, Mike, I think your point is well made when you talk about correlation or association, but not causation.
Yes.
Big difference.
Thank you for understanding me, John. You should be my wife.
You're welcome, Mike.
I don't know if he wants that role.
I don't
want to
be. I will not be your wife, Mike.
Take care, Mike. Appreciate it. All right.
We have Kathy who sent us an email on our Cobra Guard email. She says that she found a prayer of Martin Luther King, and she's seen that it seemed to echo the theme of our show. It was an ecumenical prayer, and she's just passed it on to us. So, Kathy, thank you for passing this on to us.
There's going to be a lot of quotes. We've already talked about one from Selma that may or may not be be used. We use the actual space. Michael, your citation of the King's, the King family's resistance to allowing certain text to be used in the movie. It may have gotten us in trouble because we used the script, the recording of, and maybe just the verified manuscript of Martin Luther King at Montgomery's state capitol steps at the end of the Selma March as a basis for a litany last Sunday. Oh my, we might be getting sued. Who knows?
Congratulations.
Yeah. 576-7710 is the number to call.
Speaking of NPR stories, there was one about. I didn't hear the story, but I've got the print version here, that a man awakens from 12 years in a vegetative state. He fell into a coma when he was 12 years old in the 80s. He came out of the coma 12 years later. 2 years into the coma, he says he began to awaken. Yes, I was there, not from the very beginning, but about 2 years into my vegetative state, I began to wake up, Martin recalls. I was aware of everything, just like any normal person. Everyone was so used to me not being there that they didn't notice when I began to be present again. The stark reality hit me that I was going to spend the rest of my life like that, totally alone. And so he heard things like his mother wishing, let me find the exact quote. Well, it's taken me a while to find that exact quote. One day, Joan, the mother, in a state of hopelessness, told her son, "I hope you die." Mm. She never imagined that Martin would have understood those dreadful words.
Mm.
The father got up for 12 years. He would wake up every day at 5 a.m., dress the boy, put him in the car, drive him to a special care center. 8 hours later, I'd pick him up, bathe him, feed him, put him in bed, set my alarm for 2 hours so that I'd wake up to turn him so he didn't get bed sores. What a testament of these
devotion
parents, to this child. And then he's now married. He's 39 years old, in full control of his body, and lives a normal life in England. The name of the book is Ghost Boy.
Which reminds me of a wonderful definition by Eugene Peterson of what a covenant is about and what a promise, how a promise is fulfilled. He calls it a long obedience in the same direction. And that certainly is a testimony to that, John. Did you hear this news piece about the boy who came back from heaven, the author of that, Alex Malarkey, and his father, Kevin?
Sounds like a lot of malarkey.
It's not really malarkey.
It is.
Come on.
I'm telling you, it is. And the young boy who was in a coma for 2 months and then his injuries left him paralyzed has come out and said, "I didn't do that. I didn't die. I didn't go to heaven. I made it up.
Oh,
I wanted attention." And the publisher, I believe it's Tyndale, has pulled the book. And I admire the courage of that young man and his mother to come clean about that. "I did not die. I did not go to heaven. And please forgive the brevity, but because of my limitations, I have to keep this short. I said I went to heaven because I thought it would get me attention. When I made the claims that I did, I had never read the Bible. People have profited from lies and continue to. They should read the Bible, which is enough." There we go.
Mm-hmm.
any rate, I think that that's worth noting and hopefully doesn't poke too much of a hole in people's faith that have read that book or taken comfort from it. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
KCMO, Kansas City's home of Mark Levin. Mark Levin.
So the bigger problem or the bigger issue is the welfare state. It's the welfare state, whether we're talking about longtime American citizens, Hispanics, Asians, Blacks, Whites, everything in between. It's the welfare state that's killing the Republican Party, just as it's killing the nation.
The Great One, weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
The Diagnostic Imaging Center's Health and Wellmobile, in participation with Sunfresh Grocery, Wins Wellness Innovation in Nursing Services, and CareWorks, brings health and wellness directly to you. Free and low-cost health screens, scans, and health education information are provided daily in communities all around Kansas City.
This week, visit us at Bethel SDA Church, Eliminate Diabetes Disparity Event, Chaz Ball Sunfresh Market, and Marsh's Sunfresh Market.
Visit us online at healthwellmobile.com. That's healthwellmobile.com.
This is NASCAR driver Kurt Busch. The fast lane isn't just for race car drivers anymore. Now there's a faster VA claims filing process for veterans. When you file an electronic fully developed claim or e-claim for disability compensation on e-benefits, you can get a faster decision than the standard process. Why wait? Visit ebenefits.va.gov today.
E-claims, online VA claims made simple. A message from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Kansas City's talk station. Kansas City's talk station. Making it even easier to listen. KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now at 103.7 FM.
All Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is our last little segment, and you're going to have to hurry to get in. We're delighted to take your calls at 576-7710. 576-7710 here at Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
By the way, a week doesn't go by. I'm sure this is the case for John. It may be less true for you, Michael, in Chicago, but it is true for us here in Kansas City, where we're going around town and somebody says, oh, I listen to Religion on the Line. Thank you for, so forth and so on. It's always heartening, and thank you for piping up and saying that you listen whenever we are about town.
And the book that was at the center of that controversy about the boy who said he died and came back from heaven, the name of that book was The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, and that's not to be confused with the book called Heaven is for Real, which was turned into a movie. Those are two separate books and two separate stories, and the Heaven is for Real book, there is no controversy on that one.
So,
at least not yet.
one more time, we do want to. I want to just pay tribute to Reverend Fuzzy Thompson, Reverend Dr. Nelson Fuzzy Thompson, mm-hmm. who for more than 30 years held forth at the helm of SCLC, had been the head of the Martin Luther King Urban Center, and for 30 years. Mason Memorial United Methodist Church pastor until his retirement, an iconic figure in the greater Kansas City, Missouri area, who took the mantle of Dr. King and also the celebration here in Kansas City when he became the executive director and president of SCLC and made it the second largest in the entire nation. I've heard my friend, Reverend Dr. Emmanuel Cleaver III, E3, Dr. 3, as he's called, say it was the largest, period. And I agree with that as well. I think that we're being polite to our good friends in Atlanta.
It's nice to defer to Atlanta.
Yeah. But nonetheless, the spreading of the celebration throughout the greater Kansas City area owes its expansion in many ways to Fuzzy's influence, his joyful greeting of everybody. He had a way of greeting you and you remembering how he said your name all the time. People recounted that in his service yesterday at St. James United Methodist Church, and they will be doing so today around Kansas City. And also,
the funeral was yesterday?
Funeral was yesterday. I think the burial is Tuesday.
That's something I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, there was a good delay between the service and the burial. But I do think that it's very appropriate how chirotically and chronologically appropriate that Fuzzy should die during this week-long series of commemorations. Yeah.
You know, Bob, you hit on what seems to me to be a most vivid memory of Fuzzy for me. And for those who don't know, there's just a presence in the faith community and in the justice community. But never a moment without at least a bodily smile, if not also engaged in serious work. You know, the man was filled with joy, even as folks who work for justice are so often severe and school marmishly unpleasant. There was no cynicism in him. There was no room for anything but optimism in him.
Mm-hmm. Always hopeful. Mm-hmm. Always hopeful. And encouraging. I can remember when he encouraged one minister, I observed that, hey, you're going to do this. And they said, what? Yeah, you're going to do this. And even the person that is at Oak Grove Baptist Church in KCK that took over the building for Mason Memorial gave tribute to Fuzzy for his encouragement in that regard. always encouraging. And the number of youth that he shepherded and affirmed in their growth in music, creating a legacy that will last for scores, if not hundreds of years into the future of Kansas City. They were there yesterday also singing, and their musical talents and graces were just enlarged beyond description by what Fuzzy did to support them, to encourage them.
Bob, I'm curious, I've not heard of, other than the possibility of a body being transported to another community for interment, that one would have a delay like that from the funeral service to the burial. Is that commonplace?
It's not commonplace, but I've done that before, where there is the need for a family member who couldn't make one service, and they wanted to make another, or that the preparation at the burial site wasn't going to be complete until a certain time. Sometimes in military funerals, that happens quite frequently, actually, where there's a delay. It's very non-Jewish, Michael.
Yes,
in terms
that's right. It's outside of my experience, other than the possibility of having a service in one community and then burial in another, where you have to transport. Right?
Now, when there is cremation, which would also be outside the realm of most of Jewish life, I think there can be a memorial service several months after the actual death of the beloved, and then the burial can not take place. The cremains can go with the family or be divided in a family to be buried in or scattered in several places.
Yeah. Cremains is one of those wonderful funeral words, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ashes. I remember, if we have time, quick story. Karen and my first Hanukkah together, and I got her a gift for 7 of the 8 nights, because one of the nights we always devote to what are we going to do to help others with the treasure that's been entrusted to us as custodians. And we were going to a meeting in California the next day, and I had promised some folks that I would dispose of the ashes of a loved one in the Pacific Ocean, and I put it on my dresser, and Karen said, "Oh, honey, another gift that's not necessary." And then she realized what it was and said, "Can't stay in the house."
Interesting.
There is a macabre aspect in some ways for all of us in how we deal with that ever-present reality of death.
We have not mentioned, but we can set this up for next week. We have not mentioned the Je Suis Charlie and the crackdown, if you want to call it, the need for security in all of Europe, and the harrowing specter of what the Europeans are facing, and how we respond to all of that. We'll be back next week. Anyway, I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. Next week, every week, all day, every day, we are pleased to say,
God bless.